Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton. We're having a very special episode today.
Hey, I stayed through nap time just so that we could do this segment on a Tuesday. This is going to be a lot of fun, and I don't know if I can let the cat out of the bag, but it's sort of a little bit of a prep piece for some on-site stuff that we're going to be doing with this organization going into the balance of 2019. But please join me in welcoming to the show. We have the director and the associate director with the Georgia State University Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute. They have in tow with them an award-winning entrepreneur that we're going to get a chance to visit with. But first, let's introduce the director, Jennifer Shearer, and associate director, Jackie Davis. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having us.
We're excited to talk about this partnership and to talk about the program at GSU. You know, I'm biased because my kid goes there, and I want to do everything I can to make his experience and all the people aware of GSU's amazing work that you guys do. So can you talk a little bit, Jennifer, about the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute? How are you trying to serve folks, and what's going on over there?
Sure. Well, we're pretty excited and a little bit biased, but pretty excited about what's going on at Georgia State and just throughout Atlanta in the entrepreneurship realm. So a couple of years ago, in 2016, actually, we launched the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute, and that was part of a larger initiative, campus-wide initiative, to really stimulate a culture of entrepreneurship across the campus at Georgia State University. So Georgia State's a pretty sizable university with close to 53,000 students at multiple campuses across the Atlanta metropolitan area. And in this day and age, there's a recognition that whether you want to start your own company or you want to be an independent contractor, or you want to survive at a large corporation because you know how to think like an innovator and an entrepreneur. There's just a real need to expose our student body to the skills and the tools and the mindset of what it means to be an entrepreneur. And so we launched a couple of years ago, and we offer varying ways to learn about entrepreneurship, to practice entrepreneurship. Some of that's through kind of the more traditional curriculum route, and then there's also the practical or the extracurricular approaches that we take in giving students that opportunity.
Now, a lot of groups and organizations talk about entrepreneurship, and it means different things, I think, to different people. Going through the program doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I'm going to start my own business, right? You're talking about kind of some skills and some maybe mental models that can help anybody be successful, whether they're working for a big organization, whether they're doing their own thing, right?
That's exactly right. And so we know, that not all students at Georgia State University are going to go out and start their own company, and nor should they necessarily. But these skill sets and these tools and this way of thinking can serve you well in a lot of different career paths. And that's ultimately, what we're there to do is make sure that students understand, what it means, how to identify problems, how to see opportunities and then exploit it. Again, whether or not you're part of a larger organization that is constantly needing to innovate to stay relevant, or you do decide to go start your own company, or importantly, you become part of a growing company, which is a very different gig than being in one of the large corporations.
Right. Now, a friend of mine mentioned that the way he looks at it, he works for a large organization now that's been acquired multiple times. So it started as a small organization. Now it's a large organization. And the way his mindset is, because I think he's an entrepreneur at heart, is that he looks at his boss not as his boss, but as his client. And how can I serve my client to, make him look good so that I'm going to grow and can continue to be successful in the organization that I'm with? And that goes to some of the mentality that you guys are talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk a lot about the customer and who the customer is and how do you right. serve that customer, right? And you use the word client, you know, essentially the same thing. And it really is understanding the customer and how do you solve a need that they have or a problem that they have and do it in a way that's economical and works financially and ultimately, you know, provides value for a group of customers.
But when the person has that mindset, it seems to me that they would have more satisfaction in their job. A lot of people, I mean, you look at surveys and that 50, 60, 70% of the people aren't satisfied at their job. And it might be because they're just kind of doing what they're told and they're just kind of showing up and punching in and punching out.
That's
but
right.
when you have the mindset of serving your client or your customer, then you know, you have to be energized. You have to have a good attitude. You have to, certain things have to happen in order to succeed at that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, I think that one of the things that's happening is, and certainly in conversations with, you know, the corporate world, you know, people are supervisors, leaders, managers, whatever you want to refer to them as, are looking for those people that are not sitting waiting to be told what to do. They're out there looking
proactive.
For, yeah, they're looking, they're very proactive. They're, you know, oftentimes they're the ones that are in touch with the customer more closely than anybody else. And so they know what the customer wants, what the customer needs. And so there's a, you know, I think a shift in terms of leadership, listening to people that are, you know, front and center with the customer on a daily basis. And that in turn provides an environment where, you know, the employee is perhaps happier because they get to help the company.
Right, it's more rewarding.
That's right.
Now, innovation is in the name of the Institute. That's not by accident. Why is innovation so important?
Yeah, it's definitely not by accident. So innovation, and I could probably spend the whole show talking about why innovation is important. But in terms of the entrepreneurial and innovation context, you know, again, it goes back to providing value to some customer, whoever that customer is, and in a world where innovation is happening all over the place and is being redefined. Innovation is the way that you you set yourself apart, you differentiate yourself, you create new or different products that serve different needs that customers have. And so you have to constantly be thinking about how the world around you is changing, how an individual customer's need is changing, and then applying various processes or creative thinking to get yourself to a point where you come up with innovative solutions and ideas to solve a customer's problem. And we're, you know, we're right now there's the world is focused on kind of new technology in a lot of ways and how do we exploit new technologies to the benefit of customers. We're experimenting this semester piloting a blockchain lab because blockchain is to some a very nebulous and not well understood technology, but one that's got huge potential applications across different industries. And we want students at Georgia State, one, to not be intimidated to come explore blockchain, understand what it is, and then understand how you apply it. Again, back to whether or not you're going to go work for a company in industries as we know it, or you're going to go start your own company. You know what blockchain is, and you know how you might exploit it in order to build a better product, do things more efficiently, whatever it may be.
And your efforts are being noticed, right? You're getting a lot of kind of good jobs from pretty influential and important organizations.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate to enjoy some success. So we continue to be growing in terms of the number of students, for example, that are enrolling in the various programs. So again, you can get the kind of the more traditional degree in entrepreneurship, and then also be exposed to a number of different experiences, competitions, engaging with other entrepreneurial organizations, but certainly we're excited about our enrollment. We've got now over 450 students that are majoring in some form of entrepreneurship, meaning just entrepreneurship generally, or social entrepreneurship, media entrepreneurship, or minoring in it. Any student at Georgia State can minor in entrepreneurship, and so again, over 450 students, and that's double what we had this time last year. And so It's obviously a hot area, and we're very excited about the growth.
And you've recently been recognized by U.S. News and World Report for, what is it, innovation?
The number two most innovative university, and that's really has to do with our student success and basically eliminating the gap in terms of looking at our student demographic population and reducing graduation times, getting students out in 4 years, and so very proud of our number two U.S. News and World Report ranking.
And that's showing that you're practicing what you preach.
That's right,
because you're being innovative while teaching the students to be innovative.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
And then to have this kind of philosophy of experimentation and exploring these new disruptive technologies and industries, not every school is embracing the new as aggressively, I think, as you guys do. That's by design, right?
That is by design. I think the thing that's really interesting at Georgia State is to take a look at our student population and particularly in the entrepreneurship realm. If you look at the majority of our students, they fall within the demographics, the ones that don't perform as well in entrepreneurial activities. And we believe that just like we've done with graduation rates and the more traditional kind of academic route, we think we can change that in the entrepreneurship realm. We think that we can offer students access to the resources and the networks that they need to be successful at building their own companies or becoming part of a growing company.
And that's part of what kind of your vision of the Institute is, to be that hub, right?
That's right. Yeah. So again, I'm sure we'll talk more about this throughout the show. But there's a number of different efforts across Georgia State's campus to support entrepreneurs. The Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute is one of those, and I think of us as a stimulus for change, for culture change at the campus. And so there's some things that we own and we do every day, and then there's things where we partner across campus. And so some examples include some of our interdisciplinary degrees. So with media entrepreneurship, so we have a partnership with the Creative Media Industries Institute, where we offer an interdisciplinary degree in media entrepreneurship, some of which is taught by experts in entrepreneurship in our institute, and some that are taught by media experts in the Creative Media Industries Institute. And so we're always looking at how we can partner across campus to ensure that, again, a broad base of students, no matter what background or where they came from or what they think they might want to do, have access to the tools and the skills and the mindset that entrepreneurs need.
Now, Jackie, what happens when a student comes into the Institute and is asking you, like, what's in it for me? How do I plug in?
Sure. So we have a number of different students at Georgia State who want to get engaged with the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute. The first, as Jennifer referenced, was we offer academic coursework. So we have a major in entrepreneurship that is held within the business school, along with a minor in entrepreneurship that is open to any any degree-seeking student at Georgia State. So you could be studying psychology or history and also pursue a minor in entrepreneurship. Then we have, at the graduate level, we have an MBA with a concentration in entrepreneurship. And we also have interdisciplinary degrees with other colleges at Georgia State. So Jennifer referenced the one with media entrepreneurship for aspiring entrepreneurs who are seeking to get into game design, augmented reality, virtual reality, and film production. But there's also one partnering with the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies in social entrepreneurship. That's for those students who might want to start nonprofits or for-profit social enterprises. And then we have both a undergraduate and graduate interdisciplinary degree with the Biomedical Institute at Georgia State. So that's for scientists who are looking to commercialize their technology and research.
And then is there a way to, be a kind of mega connector, connecting some of the alumni with the students, and some of these professors and the resources? Because it seems like you got a lot of toys at your disposal here, a lot of assets to leverage.
Yeah.
And then how do you kind of corral them all and help the student kind of get the most out of it?
Yeah, so outside of the degrees, we offer a number of activities, whether they be events or co-curricular programs that are available to students to plug into. Just, you know, selecting them off of our calendar. There are also spaces on campus. So we have launched GSU, which is a student incubator. Students come there with just an idea, and they can attend workshops, programs, and get mentored in launching or starting that business. We also have eHouse, which is an on-campus living learning community. Basically, think co-living for entrepreneurs on campus.
Wow.
They have their own dedicated co-working space, but then they also have the benefit of living and networking with other aspiring entrepreneurs. We also have the X-Lab, which is a maker space on campus where students can take that idea and actually go build it. Then there is also CEO, which is the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a global student organization for student entrepreneurs, and Georgia State has a chapter as well.
So this would be like my version of a health spa. If I could go spend a long weekend at the, what'd you call it, E-Space?
E-House.
E-House, and just hang out with these people and just talk and... That, man, you ought to think about marketing that to old people like me.
To re-energize.
Go get rejuvenated, you know? Wow, that sounds incredible.
So now, when you're kind of putting all these things together, is there somebody that is an ambassador that helps the entrepreneur or the budding entrepreneur get the most out of this? Or is it like, here's all these resources, go at it, you know?
Yeah, so one thing that we're actually launching this semester is we've hired an entrepreneur who's been a part-time instructor with us to work alongside the students this semester. So he is actually hosting office hours. He'll be there every other week, open door for any student entrepreneur with any burning questions. So whether it's I don't know if this is a good idea or not, or how do I build or how do I form my LLC, he's there on hand to either help the student or refer them to someone else who can help them in getting started.
So like kind of a Sherpa. To kind of get them through there and then guide them into the right resources.
Right. And I mean, our doors are always open. We'll take any question from any student and try to answer, you know, their immediate concern. So we're just trying to do our best to let students know that, you know, we are here to help in any way that we can. And we don't want them to ever go away saying, you know, I didn't know how to do that entrepreneurship thing.
But and worse is to have resources that could have helped them, but them not even aware that these resources exist, right? So that's part of it too. Now, you're also doing competitions where there's kind of these, are they pitch events or are there ways to help the person get funding or get, you know, resources?
Yeah. So we have our own on-campus business model pitch competition each semester, which is sort of a culminating event for our student entrepreneurs who are taking their first entrepreneurship class. So they go from idea to full business model canvas and pitch by the end of the semester, which is about 3.5-4 months. But beyond that, we've partnered with some organizations here in Atlanta to host their collegiate pitch competitions. So most of these are focusing on entrepreneurial ideas or actual student companies that are up and running. Mm-hmm. And so those students are able to apply to enter the competition. And if selected, they are on our campus alongside other entrepreneurs, students from campuses all over the state of Georgia. So some of those partnerships, one that's coming up is with TIE Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They host their collegiate entrepreneurs pitch competition, and we'll be hosting that in February at our Buckhead campus. Last semester, we hosted the EO Global Student Entrepreneur Awards. EO is another national entrepreneurs organization. Correct. And then we've got an exciting partnership with Georgia Inventure Prize, which is also being hosted here. And Jennifer can add a little bit about that competition.
Yeah, so this year the Georgia Chamber of Commerce is building a statewide competition for universities and colleges. It's based on Georgia Tech's Adventure Prize competition that's grown over the years. And so we will be looking to send a Georgia State team to represent Georgia State in that competition that will be televised later this spring.
Exciting stuff. Now, can you talk about a little, you're located downtown and you're next to, you know, the heart of downtown, you're next to Grady Hospital, you're next to the Capitol. Is there a way that you leverage some of those resources?
Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, it's one benefit of being in a major metropolitan area, like Atlanta, that has been on a growth trajectory, an impressive growth trajectory over the past few years, in particular in terms of, entrepreneurial support resources. And downtown's no different. We're located right across the street from Flatiron City, which is a co-working space for entrepreneurs. We've got Constellations to support social entrepreneurs right down the street from us. There's just a number of different resources like that are coming online. And again, that's just kind of this movement, I would say, across the country and perhaps even the world to support entrepreneurs and make sure that, the resources that they need, the networks that they need. It's a very entrepreneurship is a very social endeavor. And so having access to the right networks and the right experts to help support you on a what can, I'm sure Robert can attest to, a tenuous journey to get a product or a company off the ground. Downtown Atlanta and the Atlanta metropolitan region has many different resources.
Now, speaking of Robert, this is where the rubber hits the road, right? Where you have students that are actually doing stuff and making things happen. You want to introduce Robert?
We're happy to have Robert Hatcher here with us. So Robert, as you've all have pointed out, is an award-winning entrepreneur already, has started a company called Sound Collide, and I'll let him tell you more about it. But he's a great example of what we're trying to do more of, right. and continue to support.
So we'll just clone Robert. That's the cloning department will take care of that.
That's right. And then we'll start a company around that.
Right. All right, Robert, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
Good. Tell us about Sound Collide. How are you serving folks?
Basically, it's a collaboration service for music artists. You could think of us as Google Docs for recording. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know, but it typically takes between 3 and 17 people to complete a record in terms of a song. Mm-hmm. One of the major problems is basically logistics of time. You know, if you want to record a song, right, I either have to meet you at your house or I have to meet you at the studio. The studio is about $250 an hour. So the way, artists kind of deal with that problem today is sending emails back and forth. But if we're not
with the files?
Yep.
Sending the file back and forth?
Mm-hmm. But the issue is if you're alone in your house, right, and you're playing a guitar clip and you send it to me, you may have not heard that at the end of the clip, the sound or the string was getting a little dull. Typically when you're in the process of creating a song, it's a very collaborative endeavor. You know, it's almost like a software development, right? It's a very iterative process to it. So what typically happens, there's all this back and forth with sending the email clips, trying to perfect the email clip versus that's the reason why people try to get in the studio, because we could just make the change right then
all
and there.
All at one time and real time.
Exactly. So with our platform, we actually allow artists to record in different locations remotely, communicate and actually edit their audio clips and record their audio clips through our platform.
So I can be in Australia, you can be in France, somebody else can be in America. We can play at the same time?
Yep.
And then it's all being uploaded into one, like you said, a Google Doc that we're all kind of working on simultaneously?
Yep. It's a recording application. The technical term is a DAW, a digital audio workstation. All the audio files are basically being recorded from your computer to this DAW, and everybody's able to see
it. We're all sharing.
Yep.
We're all kind of on it at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it's able to create channels. Each one, like mm-hmm. we each have our own individual channel. Like I'm the guitar channel. You're the drums channel.
Yep.
Wow. How'd you pull that off? You're the tech guy that coded that?
No, I wish. No, not at all.
That takes a big brain to figure that out.
Yes, it's to be honest with you, a lot of web browser technology, in maybe in the past 4 or 5 years, have gotten, you know, great enough for us to do these type of things over the web.
So it couldn't have been done 10 years ago, the technology, or it'd have been too expensive.
Right.
So now you're, so you have a partner, there's other people. So this person kind of figured out how to make it work?
Yeah, we just basically looked at, you know, other applications that were similar, seeing some of the new browser technologies, because a lot of the pieces, like we said, you know, it's kind of quote unquote been done before. When you look at a Google Docs, you know, for example, when you look at Skype, for example, in terms of communicating peer to peer. So it's, you know, taking some of the bare bone fundamentals from those different platforms and then just adding a audio workstation on top of it.
So instead of text, it's do you use MP3 or WAV files?
WAV files.
So they have to hold a lot of data. That, those are pretty large.
Yep. And that also goes back to the timing of technology. When you talk about AWS having different servers to be able to manage different audio files and how, you know, from a tech standpoint, how you're able to architect where the whole the server isn't necessarily dealing with the whole platform, but you have another database that's specifically working with the audio to make things seamless. Mm-hmm. So it's almost it's really the right time.
And then for you, so how did this come about? You say you're not the coding person, so you had the idea. You're a musician, and you were doing it the old way, or you're not a musician either?
No. I used to be a songwriter. My brother has his own audio production company. Mm-hmm. And actually, the idea started during class. That's taking 3101.
What is that, 3101?
Sorry. 3101 is our introduction class for entrepreneurs at Georgia State. Mm-hmm. I took it because I was projecting to go get my PhD in industrial organizational psychology. I was a psych major at the time, and I knew I wanted to open my own consultant firm. So I'm thinking this is just a regular, you know, small business, how to register. And, you know, the class was talking about entrepreneurship, innovation, and it was around, you know, solving a problem. So I was like, well, you know,
I got a problem.
Right. Being a songwriter, I have a lot of friends who are artists who, you know, moved away. I would say with my brother and his company, most of the artists that he works with are in L.A., Kentucky, and Florida. So, you know, this is something that we deal with, you know, on a daily basis.
And so that's where you found out that he's emailing files back and forth?
Well, yeah, even, you know, in my own experience and, you know, working with a lot of artists. So we went through, there's a methodology called the Lean Startup methodology in terms of, you know, being able to distinguish how big of a pain point it is and is this a recognizable pain point for the potential customer. And after some testing, and really we were able to go to, there's a big music festival and conference here in Atlanta called the A3C. It was able to create, we call it like a Wizard of Oz test. It's basically a test where it's not a real prototype, but it's kind of like a fake prototype. And we were able to kind of showcase or fake, you know, people recording from different locations. And all the artists that were coming by our booth would just, you know, went crazy.
So this wasn't it wasn't working. It wasn't a minimum viable product. It was a concept.
Yes. At first it was definitely a concept.
Right. So you didn't have the technology to pull it off yet.
Right.
But you had the idea and you wanted to see if other people thought this idea was worth paying for or.
Exactly.
So then you were able to get a lot of attention.
Yes.
And were they just like freaking out? Like, oh my God, this is a big deal, right?
Yeah, it was. They were freaking out, especially with the A3C. It stands for All Three Coasts, specifically hip hop. And typically, what you have, like for example, the girl that came by our booth, she just moved to Atlanta, but her engineer is in Florida, so she consistently, you know, drives back and forth. As well as you typically, this is a great networking event. So you have, I think we were in the hall, and you had this artist who's from New York who met this producer who's from Texas. And, you know, everybody's exchanging cars, exchanging info. You know, the issue was like, you know, how do we actually continue to collaborate?
Right.
And then, you know, when they were able to come by our booth, you know, it presented a viable solution for them to continue their collaboration.
So what'd you do after that? So then now you're like, now we got to build this, right? Now we got to build it fast before somebody else builds it.
Right. It's, I think, well, to your first point, yes, it was like, yeah, we got to build this, which became very, very difficult. You know, it wasn't a...
What was the hard part? Because how far behind were you from a pull it off technologically?
I mean, we were, you know, starting from scratch. Didn't know a lot. We even tried to hire some people to kind of help us.
How were you funding it? You were self-funding it?
Yep, self-funding it. And I would say, especially me... and my partner were very, very green. So, you know, we just hired the first people to say, I was like, oh, we could do this.
Okay, right. We could do it. So we're done, right?
Man, don't feel bad. I did that last month. And I,
yeah, so. That'll happen time and time
again. Yes. Valuable lesson. And, you know, it turned out...
Hire slow, fire fast.
That's right.
It turned out horrible, which was, you know, good lessons to be learned. And
well, the good news about that is now you know that it's not that easy to pull it off.
Right.
So if you can pull it off, that's going to be good.
Right. And, you know, now that we are able to pull it off, you know, that was a learning curve again.
So how'd you find the person?
Actually, he's a good friend of mine. excuse me. He's one of those rare people that you find where it's like you're the one. He has a background in dealing with AI, building music applications. He moved away to Arizona for the time being, working with this company. Then he came back. He's built, you know, several different applications for like Verizon, Samsung. So he was definitely like the person that I needed. And he was able to help me to find, which is even more important, help me to find the right developers to build it. Because obviously I didn't necessarily have that type of discernment.
That wasn't your network. You didn't know those people. Now, when you're working with somebody like that, how do you pay them? Like, you're getting funding?
Cheetos and Grape Knee-High. You put them in a closet and you...
Right.
But you had to get them to buy into the dream. This is your dream, right?
Right.
So now you got to get him to buy into your dream.
Well, it's actually... there's a lot of cohesion because he's working on a project dealing with blockchain that has to do with music as well. So it's like a shared value. Then on top of that, him just being a good friend and saw the work that I was putting in, saw the progress that I was making, saw the mistakes that I was making. You know, it wasn't like I was trying to convince somebody that I don't know.
Right.
He saw the missing pieces to the puzzle.
And he's rooting for you.
Right.
And so is he a partner? Is he?
Yes.
So now he's part of the team.
Yes.
And are you using blockchain?
Yes.
So you're using blockchain to pull this off?
Well, we're not for the collaboration part. You know, one of the biggest issues around music, specifically independent artists, is that there's an estimated value of $2.5 billion lost every year due to unattributed songwriter credits.
Sure.
That
hits close home for you. You're a songwriter,
right? And not only that, you have a lot of artists who just basically steal from each other. And it's very easy because if we're collaborating on a song and let's say we originally agreed that it was going to be a 50-50 split, right?
Right.
Then I just take the song and put somebody else on it. And then I just go register it with the copyright office and say, you know, 100% all my original idea. How do you actually prove that I'm lying? Even if you're able to prove, you know, that you worked on these particular type of audio files, can you actually approve what our original agreement is?
Right.
So, you know, it becomes very, very hairy in terms of people actually trying to file a lawsuit or, you know, trying to recoup their credits. So the great thing with, you know, blockchain in particular is that we can, you know, just the immutable record in terms of this ledger that, you know, once it's on the blockchain or a Hyperledger, it's there. You know, it can't be hacked. So, and I think blockchain is going to have a lot of implications in just supply chain and logistics period. But it's that exact same philosophy for music where we can then track the logistics or the supply chain of every audio file and check the origin of where every song comes from and who contributed to it.
So that's not at the heart of what you're doing, but that's kind of a tangent.
Yes.
So, so for you right now, the catalyst that seems to be an entrepreneur started at GSU by you taking the class. Now, how have you leveraged the program to kind of grow your entity that you got now?
Well, actually, that's a great question because oftentimes here, you know, people make an argument of not going to school. Especially
right,
if
I'll just do it.
Right,
what do I need school for?
Exactly.
Right?
I think the great thing about school is that, one, it creates a network, it creates mentorship. It gives you a platform where you can, quote unquote, fail, as well as...
Like fail in a safe environment,
exactly.
Right?
Where it's not going to be monumental.
Right.
For example, I took a marketing management class where we were able to use this program to basically test how we wanted to deliver certain products and test the reaction. You know, these are certain things that I could take these same KPIs and make it fit into my business. So that's the biggest thing that I take away. I actually look at school as like a big sound collage project. You know, it's where all my classes, I'm just taking the information and applying it to my business.
Exactly. Now, what about as a resource for other like interns or talent?
Absolutely. Especially with us being at Georgia State, there's a big creative media industry in terms of students that are in music, that are into technology. We actually get a lot of interest because there's a lot of music students at Georgia State. You know, what's very fascinating that I find, especially coming from a smaller city, I know since I've been at Georgia State, I could probably name you five people in the past 3 to 4 years who've went on and created like either a platinum single or album, or, you know, it's working with a platinum artist. The music community at Georgia State is very huge and thriving. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, you know, great talent there, and there's a lot of people who are excited because they see how this could solve a lot of problems for them.
So now you took this one class and you were on a path to be in psychology, right?
Well now I'm on my path
now
to be
you're
my
on
master's.
A different, but now are you still on that same path? And then this is a side hustle, the Sound Collide, or mm-hmm. Is this now the thing you're doing?
Yeah, no, it's definitely the thing. It's definitely hard to start any business, you know, on the side. Now my focus is I'm in the MBA program. My concentration is business analytics.
So not psychology is now kind of that just got you to where you are now.
Exactly.
So that was how'd your parents handle that? That was a good conversation.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, you're going to get a degree? You know, you're still in school. Great.
Okay, we'll take the win there." So now, so how do you see this going? How far away are you from graduating?
About a year. So I graduate December this year.
December of this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so how are you going to plug into the? How are you going to leverage for the remainder of the year? The program and the institute?
Well, just, you know, continue to take the great thing about the concentration with business analytics. It's a mix between, you know, data analytics and like Lean Six Sigma. So some of the courses that I find interesting that I'm going to be taking in the summer is like project management, right? Which is huge for what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
As well as, you know, leadership in the organization, how to manage people, which is also huge.
Do you have employees now?
I have a few interns, mm-hmm. Which has also been a good lesson.
Practicing on them.
Practicing. That's, you know, going back to the university, you know, while I'm actually living, you know, these experiences, I also have a teacher. I also have a class where
the professors are helping as well.
Absolutely. I can develop. And I'm also, you know, actually, you know, day to day is putting it to use.
So now what's your favorite part of being an entrepreneur?
I think the... just the liberation to kind of, you know, I think a lot of people in my generation feel like they have value, but then we have like the traditional route that we should go because maybe it's less risky. And then people follow that route, but they feel like they're not getting a lot of value out of it. You mentioned a lot of people going, you know, working a corporate office and not being satisfied. I think the great thing about being an entrepreneur or even having an entrepreneur mindset, it helps you kind of discover your product market fit as an individual in terms of what value you can bring to an organization or what value you can bring, you know, to a consumer.
And you have control. This is your thing.
Right.
The harder you work, the more you're going to succeed.
Right.
You're not waiting for someone else to choose you. You've chosen yourself.
Right.
So that gives you control, which gives you that. Then you feel more security and you're the one that's going to make the impact.
I don't know if I feel more security.
Well,
maybe this is more risk.
It's more risk, but it's more
but it's
reward.
Fulfilling, absolutely.
And it's your path. No one's saying do this. You're saying do this.
Absolutely.
It's a blank sheet of paper.
Right.
So that's scary, but it's a big opportunity.
Right.
It's like when you write a song, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So this is your song.
Hopefully we can make the billboard.
We'll see if it's a big hit or not. We'll know probably pretty soon.
Yep. Well, they say it typically takes about 5 years for... a startup to really take off. And I think we may be in year two
Do you have a finished product where people are using it now?
Well, yeah, we actually, for the collaboration part, we're running a private beta.
Okay, so you're out there in the wild and people are started to use it and give you feedback.
Yes.
So that's a big milestone.
Yes, huge.
How'd you celebrate that? Because you got to celebrate. That's part of the deal.
I don't think we've celebrated yet.
You got to celebrate the small wins.
No, you're absolutely right. I think, we got to
Jennifer find a way to will help you celebrate. That's part of what the Institute does, right?
Absolutely right. We're full service.
All right, I got one last question before you wrap up his part of the segment. Are you married?
Yes.
I have two daughters. Okay. Oh, well. It doesn't surprise me. What a catch.
Thank you. So now, you're in beta. So is it too late to sign up or
no,
can
you
people?
You can sign up at soundcloud.com. What we're doing.
Who do you want to sign up?
Music artists.
Any music artists. If you're partnering with people around the country and you're emailing files back and forth.
Yes.
Sign up for this beta.
Absolutely.
And then where do they go? What's the website?
SoundCollide.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Now, Jennifer, you must be so proud, right? This is why you do this?
Absolutely. So, and we'll continue to celebrate small wins. We'll celebrate the failures too, because we know there'll be some
of those. Are learning opportunities, not failures.
Yeah, you know, he makes us proud. So, represents GSU very well.
And then, Jackie, if somebody wanted to learn more about the work you guys are doing, is there a website for the Institute?
Yes, it's eni.gsu.edu.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and telling everybody about what good work you guys are doing. And we're so proud of you, and we're excited to be part of this and help you get the word out about the good work that's being done there.
Thank you. We appreciate the partnership.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Georgia State's Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute radio show.